Hey, everybody. We are back. And how are you doing today? It's May. It's May, the lovely, lovely month of May. And I'm waiting here in New York for some warm weather to hit, but right now it's still hanging pretty cool. But I know I should enjoy this weather because soon it's going to be hot and humid, right? And we'll be complaining about that. Okay, so we're going to have some fun now because we're going to be talking about delicious food that people love to eat and all of the ramifications around it and why I am so excited about the 21st century, because it's all about acknowledging and embracing the foods people love and figuring out how to make them with plant ingredients, because many of the foods that people love come from animals, and many of us are concerned about the treatment of animals. And a long time ago, I got into this scene because I didn't think we should be killing any sentient beings. And I stopped eating animals and then learned about how eating animals is bad for health and bad for the environment. And the 20th century now seems to be all about coming up with foods, traditional foods that people love to eat, and removing the animal from it and replacing it with plants. Now, some of that's done with some serious processing and manipulation, using artificial means, artificial synthetic ingredients along with the plant ingredients to get a certain texture, a certain taste. And then other times it's just with simple natural ingredients that we can get a similar feeling, flavor, mouthfeel to replace foods that we love. And we've talked about the plant milks and the plant-based cheeses and the meat analogs. We talked about vegan mayonnaise and as I was mentioning before, the egg products that we're learning how to replace so we don't have to use the egg. Well, how about bacon? And that's what we're going to be talking about now with Leilana Toomoons, who has a new cookbook out called Baconish. She is the author of the blog Vegan Good Things, and her writing and photography have appeared in Leica and Veg News magazines. She's a longtime vegan and is dedicated to creating recipes that are satisfying enough to please anyone, vegan, vegetarian, flexitarian, or hardcore carnivore alike. And she's active in the New York City vegan community, lives in Long Island City with her husband and two children, who are all vegan. Welcome to It's All About Food, Leilana.
Hi, great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So before we get into your wonderful cookbook and your wonderful recipes, let's talk a little bit about you. Which is, I read a little bit about you in your introduction.
Sure.
I always like to know what everybody's story is. So what was your motivation behind becoming vegan?
For going vegan in the first place? Well, I actually married a vegan man. He had been vegan for a very, very long time. You know, when we got married, he had already been vegan for probably 20 years. At that point. And, you know, when we got married, I still ate dairy. I was, and I ate fish and seafood. So I wasn't eating all kinds of meat, but I definitely was not vegan at that point. And, you know, the great thing about him was that he was never preachy or pushy about it. He was just a great example of what, you know, a vegan could be. He was super healthy, had plenty of energy, you know, looked much younger than his years. Mm. And, you know, and I'm the only one who cooks in the household. So, you know, I would only cook vegan at home just to make things easier. But, you know, when we would go out, I would still, you know, have cheese or fish or some things once in a while. And really just sort of slowly, without really meaning to, I started eating more and more vegan. And I started noticing that the fewer animal products I ate, the better I felt. And, you know, health issues that I'd had really as long as I could remember, my whole life long, started to disappear. And it was really clearly linked to the change in my diet. And so that started happening. And then, you know, as I read more and more and learned more and more about being vegan and about, you know, cutting out those last few animal products that I was still, you know, eating at the time. You know, I started to come to it on my own, and I really felt like it was my decision in the end that I came to the decision on my own. And, really the last step was one night we watched the movie Earthlings. Mm. I don't know if you've seen it.
Sure.
It's a pretty intense, powerful film. And after I watched Earthlings, that was it. I said, you know, not only am I not eating any more animal products, but that's when I stopped buying, you know, I stopped wearing leather. I stopped buying, you know, any animal products, even in my clothing and accessories. And it was from that point on that I really declared myself vegan.
I appreciate you telling us this story. And what I love about it is it's not a unique story. It's something that I think resonates with all humans, that when we are in a safe place and we're shown what life can be like, and when we discover eating plant foods and eliminating animal foods, when we just feel like we've never felt before, we feel
right.
better, all the problems go away. It's an incredible discovery. It's a discovery that is available for everyone.
Right. Right.
I think the best, I love your husband for this, because the best way to share this message is to share it with someone you love, and especially someone you're in a relationship with. That's the best way to create new vegans, other than burying them yourself.
Right. Well, we made two more vegans as well. So,
so thank you, and thank him for that.
I will.
Now, this thing that's going on with bacon, and I mean bacon from pigs, it's, I don't understand it. It's crazy, but we see a lot of it going on with social media. These people that are just obsessed with bacon and professing their obsession with bacon, and they don't seem to be affected at all by the cruelty connected to it. How
right.
do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, people are really into bacon, and it's weird to me because, I mean, when I remember eating bacon sometimes growing up. I mean, we would have bacon once in a while, but it wasn't a thing. Like, it's a thing now where people are so into bacon, you know, and it's this whole sort of cultural mania around bacon. And I mean, I understand it tastes good. I mean, there are actual reasons why, you know, animal-based bacon tastes good. It's, you know, it has to do with the combinations, like all the flavor molecules and how they combine. And I'm not versed enough in like all the scientific reasons, but it does taste good. It has all of the umami savory flavors that hit all the right spots on your taste buds. So I get it. It tastes good. But, you know, when you think about all the other, you know, things that surround animal-based bacon, the cruelty, how terrible it is for your health, how the World Health Organization has declared that it is undeniably linked to more than one type of cancer, you know, and the environmental destruction, it just seems like is, you know, just because something tastes good, is it really worth all of that? Is it worth all of the other things that go with it? And to me, I mean, obviously the answer is no.
No, especially when, as you've demonstrated in this very lovely cookbook, how we can get, I think what's most appealing about bacon is the sweet, salty, smoky, fatty, whatever it is, umami flavors that make it so appealing. And we can do that with so many different foods. And I think here's what I want. And your book is the beginning of it. Not only bacon-ish, but the word bacon should change, should evolve, and not mean from pigs. It should mean foods that have these flavors, fat, salt, sweet, smoky, and those should all be the new bacon.
Absolutely. I'm so with you on that because, I mean, even people who eat, you know, pig-based bacon, it's not, you know, when they're craving bacon, it's not that they just relish the fact of having a dead pig on their plate. You know, it's all of those flavors that you just described. It's the smoky, the salty, the savory, the crispy, crunchy, you know, all of those flavors, those combinations, that's what bacon is. That's what comes to mind when you hear the word bacon. And so I wanted to really show people that you can capture those flavors. You can still have all of those delicious bacony flavors, but you can do those. You can make those with plant-based ingredients, and it's so much better for you. And so when you say the word bacon, that's what I want to come to mind. I want it to mean, you know, all of those flavors, the smoky and the savory and the sweet and salty, but with all of these new possibilities that we have, you know, all these new ways of making bacon with vegetable-based ingredients.
And it's yummy. Okay,
it is.
Now we have to make a disclaimer here, okay? This is not the healthiest eating.
Well, I mentioned in the beginning, it's sort of like, you know, I have two kids. We watch Sesame Street sometimes, and Cookie Monster says, like, you know, cookies are sometimes food. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though vegan bacon is far healthier than animal-based bacon, I'm not claiming that this is health food per se. It's still a sometimes food. I don't expect you to eat the entire batch of bacon in one sitting. You know, it's
even though without, you want to, and you probably will,
right? At least without, you know, drinking lots of water with it. But you know, it is totally cholesterol free because it's vegan. You know, I would say lower in fat. There's still a sodium issue, but you know, you just have to everything in moderation.
Yeah, they're probably. I think in a lot of your recipes, there's a lot of good nutrition, especially from the tempeh and the tofu. Sure. For those people who aren't gluten intolerant, seitan is a great source of protein. There's a lot of goodness. But, you know, it's a funny thing in this food world. When we're promoting something, I was talking about this earlier, when people make comments to things that you put out, there are many people that get angry so quickly. And have so many negative things to say about something, we have to be careful all the time. Oh, you know, you're putting out this vegan recipe, but it has this and it has that. It's not really healthy.
Right. Well, I would like to just remind people, it's a cookbook about bacon. So, yes, it is vegan bacon and it's better for you, but you're still picking up a cookbook about bacon, which means that you're probably not opposed to a little bit of indulgence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, I think this is great. And, you know, I just always like to make these disclaimers.
Yes.
Oh, for those that need to hear them. But there are some wonderful, wonderful recipes in here.
Thank you.
And to satisfy all kinds of cravings. So, for those that are curious, let's talk about how many ways you can make bacon without the animal.
Well, I have, let's see, I think it's 10 or 11 different ways of making the actual bacons. And, you know, the bases of those are seitan and tofu and tempeh, coconut eggplant, a couple of different mushroom bacons, carrots, and even roasted chickpeas. And I have a recipe for some, the baconish bits, the little bacon bits that are great to sprinkle on everything. And I even have a few bonus recipes that are not bacon, but they're pig friendly, like a seitan ham, the pineapple glazed seitan ham, and a spicy chorizo and a couple other goodies.
Yes. And I have to include these things because it's my show. I can say whatever I want, but that's what I love about this show. is I have this spiritual thing. I don't know how else to explain it, but many, many years ago, I've been vegan for 28 years and vegetarian longer. And I was in a hotel at one of these basic buffet hotel breakfasts, nothing amazing. There were a handful of chafing dishes out, covered. And I remember wondering what was in the chafing dishes. Usually there's eggs, potatoes in another, and in another one there's typically bacon.
Right.
Without opening them, I passed by them, and I could hear the screams of pigs going to slaughter. And it's a very powerful memory that I have carried with me. It's something that I always have to kind of cork or stop because it brings up tremendous emotion of what's going on in the cruelty in the world. But that's what I hear those things when I smell bacon.
Right, sure.
Okay, so let's please eliminate the animal from the bacon and rejoice from all the wonderful bacons that we can make, and you're doing that here. We like to make a lot of tempeh bacon here at home, but I have to confess that I have not made coconut bacon, which, I mean, how many thousands of people have been raving to you about your coconut bacon?
It's the coconut bacon. You have to make it. It's the one recipe you know, in my book that it's dearest to my heart. I love the coconut bacon so much. And it really, you know, it was really the recipe that kind of started the whole idea for this book in the first place. And it's, you know, the coconut bacon is just so, it's such a perfect vegan bacon because it absorbs the marinade so well that, you know, the marinade's like tamari or soy sauce if you want, and a little bit of maple syrup and some liquid smoke. There's so much flavor packed into those little flakes. And then the really genius part of the coconut is that coconut has that natural fattiness to it.
Mm-hmm. And so a natural sweet fattiness.
Totally. It's so perfect. And it crisps up so well in the oven. So it's like crispy and kind of fatty, chewy at the same time, with all those good flavors in it. It's just the best. Just make the coconut bacon. Make yourself a simple BLT, just some good bread, tomato, lettuce, and some, you know, veggies or just mayo, whatever you prefer. And it's the best BLT ever.
So I also have not made any kind of mushroom bacon, and you have a king trumpet mushroom bacon and a shiitake mushroom. I'm thinking that the mushroom bacon is probably another really good one because of the natural texture that it comes with, that chew.
It's
how it can make a really great bacon.
Yes, exactly. The texture is fantastic, and I love the mushroom bacons also. They're perfect for, you know, for people who are just, you know, beginning or, you know, just making their first vegan bacon recipes because they're so easy to make. They're so easy to work with. And because mushrooms are packed full of the umami flavors already, they take very little to transform them into good little baconish morsels, you know, just
good
a little bit.
Baconish morsels.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to add a whole lot to them. So they're really great, really easy, and super delicious too.
Okay. Earlier in the program, I was singing my praise of chickpeas.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you caught the New York Times article that was talking about aquafaba.
Right, yes, I saw that.
And I think your cookbook is the first one that I've thumbed through that mentions aquafaba and uses it. So, yay to you.
Yes, I think. I mean, it's the first cookbook that I personally know of that really features a lot of aquafaba recipes. And then, as you probably know, there's a whole book, a whole cookbook for our aquafaba recipes coming out this fall that's going to be really, really amazing. But, yes, I use it in a lot of my recipes. It's my egg replacer of choice and all the of the baked goods. And I even use it in the ice cream recipes.
I saw that.
Yes.
Fascinating.
It's a really miraculous ingredient.
It is. And now, for those of you who have a short-term memory, I was talking about it in the first part of the program, and aquafaba is the water that comes out of the can when you get a can of chickpeas, or if you cook it yourself, it's that thick water that is associated with the cooked chickpeas, and it can be whipped into a miraculous frenzy like egg whites.
Yes.
I'm just thinking that if there was any kind of planned purpose for planet Earth and all life on Earth, I think the chickpeas are really here to do an incredible amount of things that we are just beginning to scratch the surface of. So I was talking earlier about the aquafaba and also talking about the chickpea flour, and you have your omelet recipes in here too.
Yes.
Aren't chickpeas like the most amazing thing?
They are. They're so versatile. They can be used in so many different ways. I mean, the chickpea flour I know is used a lot in Indian cooking, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice. You know, it has a sort of a natural, almost eggy kind mm-hmm. of flavor to it. And it, you know, it thickens well. It's really a neat ingredient that I'd like to start using more of. But yes, I use it in my omelet recipe, actually.
Right. Yeah, we're using it more and more. And I guess I have to start. I got to take the aquafaba plunge.
You do. It's so easy. And, you know, use the aquafaba and then make chickpea bacon with the chickpeas.
No waste. Yeah. I'm wondering, though, now I'm just kind of being spontaneous here. People talk about rinsing beans when you cook beans because the water itself can have some of those proteins that give us gas.
Right.
And has anybody talked about gas from aquafaba?
I do not know. Honestly, I mean, I've used aquafaba in a lot of different ways. Like I told you, even in ice creams and, making meringues. I haven't noticed any difference, any extra activity
doing that.
But, you know, the Facebook page, if there has been any discussion about that in aquafaba, it will certainly be on their Facebook page.
Right, I haven't seen it. I just was just thinking about that right now, and I shared it with everyone. yes, okay. So I'm just doing a quick last thumb through here, see what pops out that I want to mention. Everything looks really lovely. Elvis cupcakes, for example.
Elvis makes a few appearances in the book, his peanut butter, banana, and bacon combo.
And do you have a special affinity for Elvis?
I mean, honestly, not so much for Elvis himself. I mean, I like Elvis, but it's really more that I also love peanut butter, bacon, and bananas together.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about you. I grew up eating peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
Oh, I eat them all the time.
Totally, and you know, when you add just that little salty, crispy element mm-hmm. with the bacon or the, you know, any kind of vegan bacon, like coconut bacon especially, it's just so perfect together.
Okay, let's briefly talk about having two vegan children. Now, they're not teenagers yet, and we have to check back with you later on that.
Sure, please do.
But how are they with the food that you give them?
My son is 4, my daughter is 2. They are both in the super picky phases right now. The thing about vegan kids is that they are just as picky and as vegetable averse as other kids.
Mm-hmm.
they don't magically eat more vegetables than other kids.
Right.
It can be challenging, but I think in probably the same way that all parents are challenged with picky, preschoolers. They love, their favorite is mac and cheese, of course. They love my mac and cheese, but they love it even more when I get the Amy's frozen mac and cheese.
Oh, wow. What is it about packaged food that kids
love? I don't know. It's their favorite thing. My son especially is really, really difficult right now with the vegetables. So we rely a lot on smoothies, like green smoothies. Fortunately he'll drink smoothies, so we put plenty of spinach or greens into that, and he'll drink it. He acts like I'm trying to poison him if I put it on his plate. We eat a lot of tofu, a lot of rice and pasta, and I try to sneak as many vegetables in, as I can. That way. They love fruit, snacking on fruit.
Yeah, kids love fruit.
Yeah, that kind of thing. It's not without its challenges for sure, but they're super healthy and happy and thriving. Mm-hmm. And I've never doubted that, being vegan, raising them vegan is the right decision.
Mm, I love to hear that. Now, you live in Long Island City, which is far from me.
Yes.
And I was talking earlier about Queens and how it's really an incredible place for all kinds of ethnic cuisine.
Yes.
I don't know if you've been to the one in my neighborhood, Green Zenfany, which is in Rego Park.
No.
It's a favorite.
Yeah, I've got to write that down so I remember to go. We just moved. We only moved from Brooklyn. It wasn't that far, but we just moved to Long Island City in December. So I really have to check out all the, Queens vegan spots.
Yeah, Astoria's got a few. Does Long Island City have anything vegan?
No, it really does not. There are a couple places where you can get vegan options, but it's not great for vegan restaurants, I have to say. We were very spoiled in Brooklyn.
You'll have to open one.
A couple people have mentioned that to me. Somebody needs to open one over here for sure. Like, can't we get the Blossom or the Terry people over here?
Yes, I think it's time.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, Lilana, thank you so much for joining me and for writing Bacon-ish. This is
thank you so much,
great book.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Thank you for joining me, and take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We have just 2 minutes left, and I wanted to take a moment. If you've been to responsibilityandliving.com, you may have noticed on the homepage that there's a post saying goodbye to Broccoli Rob. Broccoli Rob was Robert Poe, a lovely man, a great musician. I interviewed him on this program 3 years ago, and he passed away on Thursday. And he unfortunately had a very aggressive stomach cancer, and he tried really, really hard to beat it, and he wasn't successful, unfortunately, and we're all very sad to see him go. I invite you to read my brief post and listen to the interview that I had with him a few years ago. Keep his voice alive. He has a website, robertpoemusic.com, and you can hear some of his wonderful songs and his very rich, lovely, lovely baritone voice. So before we go, I want to play the song that he played in the Progressive Radio Network studio about eating greens, and it's called Around for You. So I'm going to sign off wishing you a very delicious week and listen to Robert Poe's Around for You.
I'm eating my greens, no more candy in between, 'cause you're sweet enough, it's true. I'm getting strong, I want to live real long, I want to be around for you. Well, you're my reason for this good eating and working out every day. Nature's concoctions will rid my toxins. Baby, I changed my way. I'm eating my greens, been getting hard and lean. It's something everybody should do. I want to be strong, yes, I want to live real long. I want to be around for you. I want to be around for you. Yes, I want to be.